Kenya's Nobel laureate Wangari Maathai has died in Nairobi while undergoing cancer treatment. She was 71 years old. She won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004 for promoting conservation, women's rights, and transparent government. She was the first African woman to get the award. She was elected as an MP in 2002 and served as a minister in the Kenyan government. In this 2006 audio clip, she speaks of the relationship between scarce natural resources and global conflict.
Indeed, when we look at the world we live in, and we look at the conflicts and the wars that we fight as we speak, whether there are conflicts in a small way in my country back home, or big conflicts such as we find in the Congo, in Darfur, in many other parts of the world, if you look at them and remove the superficial layers of religion and politics, quite often it's a question of trying to access resources, trying to control those resources, and trying to decide how those resources will be shared. Unfortunately for us, when we leave some people out, when some people feel marginalized, when some people feel like they don't belong, when some people feel like they are not recognized, their voice is not listened to, sooner or later they seek justice. And sometimes they seek justice in a way that precipitates a crisis and a war. So we must change our mindset, because we are so used to thinking about these issues separately and thinking that when we hear some people fighting, we are persuaded to believe that they are fighting because they are different tribes and they hate each other, or they are fighting because there are too many, or they are fighting because they are the wrong color. Quite often, it's about resources. And so, because we live on a planet where resources are limited, we must learn to share them, we must learn to manage them, we must learn to live in a system that allows for the greatest space, which, for lack of a better word, we'll call democratic space.
Wangari's unique insight was that the lives of Kenyans, and by extension of people in many other developing countries, would be made better if economic and social progress went hand in hand with environmental protection. One of the legacies she has left us is the Green Belt Movement she founded. It's a movement that reaches across the globe, and it's especially remarkable in that it was also conceived as a source of employment in rural areas and as a way to give new skills to women who regularly came second to men in terms of power, education, nutrition, and much else. I spoke to Francisca de Gasperis, director of the Europe Office of the Green Belt Movement, which, as Francisca explains, Wangari Maathai founded in 1977.
Wangari was an inspirational leader, and her death has come very suddenly, and we are all still in shock, really, to hear that she has passed away last night.
Francisca, can you tell me about the organisation she founded, what the main objectives of it are, and how it works?
The Green Belt Movement was founded in 1977, and Wangari started the Green Belt Movement really in response to what the rural women in Kenya were telling her, which was that they weren't getting access to the basic things they needed in life: firewood to cook food, for fuel, clean drinking water. They couldn't feed their children. There were nutritional issues. And as she traveled as a professor at the University of Nairobi around the countryside, she saw a very different landscape from what she'd grown up with 40 years before. Very denuded, the hills, the trees were gone, and the soil was running off into the rivers. And so it was looking at those two issues, both hearing what the women were saying and also looking at what the landscape was looking like, that made Wangari think the problem is that we are destroying the environment. And the people who need it most were the ones who are most rapidly destroying it, the people who live on the front line, the rural poor women. So she started with a very simple project, which was to work with the women to plant trees. And it was really about education and environmental restoration. And that's where it all began.
I understand that she planted some 20 to 30 million trees in Africa. Is that correct?
Actually, you know, it's 47 million in Kenya alone. And other movements that she spearheaded, including the Billion Tree Campaign, which was launched by UNEP in 2007, have planted, I think, over 10 billion. I think it's coming close to 14 billion now. So her inspiration has planted billions of trees around the world.
She was the first African woman, maybe the only African woman, to ever win a Nobel Peace Prize. And during her speech, she said that she hoped her success would spur other women on to a more active role in the community. So she was very much involved in the empowerment of women. Would you say this is one of her main legacies?
Absolutely. One of the quotes that I love most from Wangari's life, although there's many excellent quotes that she's given, which we have up on our website, but one of the ones that I love was when she was in a court case and she was really being ridiculed. You know, Kenyan society in the 70s and 80s really did, because it was under the dictatorship of Daniel Arap Moi, really did try and, you know, cut her down. And she was being ridiculed, and she said at that point, she said, you know, let's talk about the anatomy that really matters in this case, from the neck up. And that's how she looked at the world. She didn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You were a person and you had rights.
Francesca, I've been on your website and I see that the Greenbelt movement has offices in the United States, in England. I'm speaking to you from London, I think,
yes.
In Kenya. So it really does reach out.
The offices in the UK, which I'm speaking to you from, and the one in the US were started after the Nobel Peace Prize. And we are really branches of the Greenbelt movement headquartered in Kenya. And our role is strategic, and we work on advocacy issues. We work on issues such as climate change. We do fundraising and communication. So we are part of the same family. And obviously with Wangari's reach, we did a lot of very close work with her over the years.
This year is the International Year for Forests. Close to your objectives.
Absolutely. It's a very special year for us. And just not long ago, a couple of days ago, we were campaigning against plantations being recognized as forests. It's very important for us that indigenous forests are the forests that are looked after and safeguarded. And we're concerned that that's not being done enough around the world.
Do you know she came to the Vatican and participated, I think, at least in one conference on the environment?
Yes, and it was very important for her to engage with faith-based groups. I know she was absolutely thrilled and honored to be at the Vatican, and she found it a very stimulating conference that she went to with Caritas. I just would like to say that, you know, we are very sad to lose our founder, and it's a real tragedy for her to have passed at this time. She still had a great deal of work to do, but her legacy will live on, and she's got an incredible body of work over her lifetime. And she's given us a hard task to continue and to keep on these issues. The battle is not over yet.
The Green Belt Movement's webpage, as well as the online editions of many international newspapers, are carrying tributes to, memories of, and messages of condolence for Wangari Maathai. You may also want to go onto the Green Belt Movement's webpage to read more about the organization and what it does, and even how to get personally involved. You can do that at www.greenbeltmovement.org.